What's going on, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze tonight, we have somebody who's been on the show before. His name is Sean Fry, and he's got a Kickstarter for a comic book called Youth Mob. He's coming up next, and we're going to be talking about, would you give up your rights?
You got the right.
Get your meds next.
Let's get it.
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent, cast the Craze! Making moves on your own, cast the Craze! On your grind in the streets, cast the Craze! Join the movement. Catch the Craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Seth the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. It is April 29th. This is it, end of the month. Last episode of the month. Yeah. And we are going to be talking today to another indie creator about his project, about his dream, about the things that make him click. He's also got a Kickstarter. If this is something that you guys would like to, you know, listen more about, then subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button. Comment below. Hit that bell.
Make sure what are you waiting for?
Yeah, make sure that you know when we go live or when we have a show that's coming up. We have other things on the channel, such as, you know, the Crazy 10 or Less, What's in the Box, the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew every Thursday morning live. So we have a lot of stuff on the channel, so make sure you subscribe. We're trying to get to 1,000. The road to 1,000 is real, and we're trying to get there. So, you know, make sure you do all those things and help us grow the channel as much as you can. Yes. But what's going on with you, Sammy? How you doing, my man?
Just want to thank the two newest subscribers to the channel, but your accounts are private, so I can't really thank you by name. But, you know, hopefully you stick around, you know.
Stick around. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So, no. I mean, I just got my... Bam! Business cards in the mail. Boom. Boom. CMG.
Boom. Sakalaka.
Look at that. It's the back. So I got my cards in the mail. I got books arriving tomorrow. I'm sending out banners, backdrops for the expo, which is May 24th through the 26th, but I'll be there from May 23rd through the 28th. So I'm getting ready for the licensing expo. So I got a lot of stuff done. Yeah. You know, just locked in my wingman. My boy Paul's coming down with me. You know, he's the expert in customer engagement. The guy's got it on lock, so he's the perfect guy to have with me to woo and schmooze the acquisitions teams. So that's going to be good. And just been doing that and working on Duty. You know, just here's a cover for Duty's Adventures. Bomb! You could only get it on the Kickstarter. So, yes, this is where Duty goes up against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poo Poo. And this you'll be able to get onto the Kickstarter if you haven't signed up yet. The Kickstarter landing page is live. Sign up today. And because there's going to be a lot of cool stuff. And so you got Duty, there's Nailing My Toilet issue number 2. And then you also have Duty's Adventures book number 1. And you'll find out why Duty becomes Duty, right? You know, because his active imagination just didn't start when he came to Earth. So that's going to be fun. So yeah, just been busy doing all that stuff. And once I get everything out to the printers by the end of the week, as far as props and everything for the booth, then I can start working on all of the screenplays and pitch decks.
Yeah, no, busy time. This is, you know, this is airing on April 29th, but obviously you've been working a lot of this stuff for a little while now. So hopefully, you know, let's see what happens. End of May is going to be a big, big time of year. As soon as you come back from that, then the launch of Duty happens on the 31st. So make sure you're watching that show because, you know, we'll have updates, obviously, of how it went down out there. Yeah. It'll be a nice little party. You know what I mean? The launches, those launches are always fun. So make sure you're here for the launch.
Especially that's going to be a week of no interviews. So that week, there's going to be nothing going on the week that I'm away. The Crazy Tell Us will still go on Monday and Friday. Right. You still have an episode.
Something on the channel. It just won't be any live shows that week.
Yeah.
But there will be something on the channel for you guys to watch. So
it'll be interesting to come back and, you know, hopefully come back with some good news or you know.
Yeah.
As far as Deet, there's been a lot of inquiries about people wanting to know the ins and outs. That will be available on exclusive videos that would be based on subscription. You won't be able to get it for free. So if you want to know.
Subscription, you say? What subscription are you talking about,
Sam? Yes, the Patreon's coming.
Patreon's coming, baby.
If you want inside scoop on, you know, putting together the pitch decks and the ins and outs of preparing for an event that big and what happens when you're there, how do you pitch, how do you network, you know, how do you get, you know, face-to-face time with some of these people, all that stuff. I'll be sharing all that stuff in exclusive videos that will only be for Patreon members. And more to come with that.
When will the Patreon launch?
In June.
June. All right, cool. Yeah. Hey, listen, so if Sammy comes back with, you know, deals made over at the licensing show, then those videos are going to be worth a lot to you guys because that'll be the secret sauce as to how to get these things to pop off, to say it hood like. But yeah, no, good stuff, man. It's happening. It's going to be a good month. I have a campaign that's also launching in May. Obviously, this will be the last show before the launch. It is Friday the 29th. So make sure that you have signed up to the campaign. If you have done so,
it's right around the corner.
Yeah. If you've done so, please let me know. I'm ready to send you guys this bad boy right here. I've been sending it already. PDFs I've gone out to you guys. So make sure that you signed up to the page and let me know. And then, you know, come Wednesday, May the 4th, if you guys decide to pledge, then I will send you a printed copy of that bad boy. So make sure that you are also watching the show on May 4th, which is the launch day of the campaign. I will be hitting that button at 8:30, giving some stuff away. I got the spinners.
Give it away now.
So we're going to be having fun. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be good.
Anytime you need a payment.
I also wanted to give a big shout out to my boy, Joe Holly. Now.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Homage covers are the joint. You know, a lot of Kickstarters have the homage covers. My homage cover, and we talk about this guy all the time, was done by Mr. Joe Holly, and it is an homage to
Spider-Man
300.
And that
is his artwork there.
I guarantee you that's going to be the number one selling cover.
I love this cover, man. He did his thing. He's got Wonder Duck flying into the page. Yes. You know, his
signature. That homage cover is going
to
fly.
Yeah, big shout out to him, and big shout out to Victor Claudio, who did the coloring on that. Bad boy, the guys have really been very supportive, and thanks to everybody. Sam, you have a print for a stretch goal in there, Superman style. Yeah. So that's going to be fun, and just stay tuned, man. We're going to have a lot of stuff. It's going to be a fun campaign. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's ready to go as we speak. I just had to hit that button, and I'm starting to get all
the colors. Who did the colors for that?
Victor Claudio.
Oh, that's right. You said that already. Yeah.
Yeah. They did the colors for it. So big shout out to him, man. He's actually, yeah, he's killing it with the coloring. So yeah, no, the cardstock, the cover. So yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
He did an ad for Comics Wellspring on the back.
Yeah, no, this is actually wasn't printed through Comics Wellspring. It was actually printed through Morris Publishing.
Oh, how is the quality?
It's good. It's good. I mean, you know, I had to, you know, you always got to call back. It's good to have proofs. This is actually a proof. So it's good to have proofs because then you can catch mistakes and things like that. And I caught a couple of mistakes that I sent back and they were more than willing to, send the corrected versions of it.
I said Comics Wells bring so much business in the past few months.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? You've been printing like crazy over there.
Crazy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
They'll be sending me, I've earned all these award points, right? But when I go to my account, there's no way to figure out how to use them. You know, so it's like I got to click on the link on the email, but I got 20 emails with all these awards. So I'm sure I accumulated a certain amount of points, but there's nowhere on my account. So I got to email them and say, can you just give me a grand total and give me a link for my grand total? Because there's a lot of points. And if I'm getting a discount using those things, hook a brother up.
Hook it up. Yeah, no, man. But yeah, no, I mean, listen. We talked about this and we've talked about this in the past about how it's gotten a lot easier to print. I mean, obviously print on demand is what we all use, right? Because then we don't have to go and print out the large numbers. And there are a lot of companies. There are a lot of companies out there. And I was trying out different ones just to see which ones I liked. Right. So I tried them. I've tried Kablam. I've tried Comics Wellsprings. We've tried, what was the other one? Mixum? Mixum? So, you know, we've tried a few, but yeah, no, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And so make sure that you guys are signed up to the launch pages for both books for, you know, There's an Alien in My Toilet and for The Adventures of Wonder Duck. So that's happening. It's coming quick. And so, yeah, man, but what else we got? What else we got? What other things we got to talk about?
Let me see. I got an air fryer.
You got an air fryer.
Yes, I made some wings today. I made wings and shoestring French fries. I made my own version of Cajun French fries.
Yeah.
And I used this dry rub powder, seasoning for my wings. Fire.
Ugh. Yeah, good stuff.
Way to go, bro.
Yeah.
I had 10 wings and my fries. I was like, and I'm full. Like, I'm full for the rest of the night. Like, I'll probably have
How many wings can you fit in the fryer?
I had 10 in the fryer.
Oh, nice. Yeah. See, I tried because I have one too, but mine is
I didn't stack them up. I just put one layer of 10.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a big fryer, bro.
Yeah.
Because mine is smaller. So I try to do chicken nuggets. And those I had like 3 at a time.
what do you get? Like an
8 ounce? I had like a baby one, bro. That thing is like.
That's not a fryer. That's a fray.
No, that's a fry.
That's a liar. That's a liar.
It's a little baby fryer.
What the hell is that? Yeah, it was the choice of getting. I got a 5 quart, a 5.5 quart. It was either that or get an 8 quart. And I was like, 8 quart might be too big. This is perfect for us, you know, because like I could put 4 pieces of salmon in there, perfectly.
Yeah, that's a big fryer, bro.
Yeah. But you know, I always say like if you whatever you're doing, you know, because you figure it out. Like it says. Put like for the wings, I think it was like 400 degrees for 20 minutes. Yeah. Right. And, I opened it up after 5 minutes, turned it, closed it. But at 15 minute mark, I didn't need it to go the whole 20 minutes. I was like, oh no, this is done. You know, cause I've been cooking since I was a kid. So I was like, nah, this is perfect. So I didn't need the whole 20 minutes. Same thing with the fry. The fry says, you know, put it on 300 for whatever. You got to open that every 5 minutes just to make sure, because fries will burn quick, you know, they'll cook to overcook. And so I was like, oh no, I don't need to go the full. I think the fries was like 15 minutes. And I was like, nah, I doesn't need 15 minutes. Yeah. I was like, it was 8 minutes. It was good. It was perfect. I was like, I'm out.
Nice. Did Des have any?
Yeah. She ate the whole thing. Like, Des doesn't eat. She doesn't like to eat chicken, but she ate the wings. Because the way I season them, you know, because I got that Puerto Rican background. So it's like, I got all that stuff, bro. And she ate the fries. I made the Cajun style fries and, she loved it.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, no, air fries are the joint, man. I think, they're healthier, obviously, because you don't have all that grease that we're used to. But yeah, man, it's a cool little thing. I'm going to have to get a bigger one because
my for $99.
But the thing is, like, so I'm in an apartment, so I don't have the space to have like a big one laying around. You know, got a nice house, you got a a nice little mini mansion in Texas. You know what I'm saying? So you know, I got a liar, you got a fryer. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, you got a.
What am I gonna do?
You got matches.
You can't all be.
You got matches. Like,
Brokepreneurs over here.
Brokepreneurs.
No, it's funny because when I did that, so I started out with the fryer And I got hungry, bro. I was like, you know what? Turn on the oven. I just threw stuff in the oven, bro. It's over. Yeah. But yeah, no, those fries are dope. I got to use mine more. I haven't used it enough. They're easy to clean.
I just put it on. I just leave it soak on the water and then just wipe it.
Done. It's over.
I made a mistake with turkey burgers. I put them in and I put it at the time that they said. I didn't check it and it overcooked. And I was like, So I was like, nah. So I guess that's not the right temperature for this. And the next time what I did was I lowered the temperature for the same amount of time and it came out perfect.
Nice. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah. But my medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say something like that.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Medicine.
Would you give up your rights?
Your rights?
What? You gotta fight for your right to party.
Would you give them up? So, Sammy, talk to me, man. Talk to me about this topic for today, because you know we go back and forth sometimes. Oh, what are we gonna talk about today? And you had the idea for this guy. So, talk to me about the topic for today.
Well, the reason why it came up, I was reading an article today. I don't know how the stuff just right before I said it to you, it popped up on my social feed. And it was about how Netflix, there's a dispute between Netflix and the creator. And I got to find that article again because it was on my social feed and I didn't like save it. But it was like between like Netflix and a creator about who owns the rights to a property. And apparently there was, I guess the creator didn't realize that they gave up the rights. Right. So, but you know, that's what happens when you're desperate to get something, you know, is it worth giving up the rights to it? And then somebody else profiting off of your blood, sweat, and tears. So at what point would it be worth it for you to give up sole creative rights to something? Is it a lump sum check? You know, what is it that's going to allow you to give up your rights?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I think it's so if you asked, you know, 20-something-year-old George the same question, I'd be like, I ain't giving no rights. I ain't giving up no rights. Oh, that's all mine. Da, 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 da.
Right.
You talk to me today, and I'm like, well, okay, it depends on the property, right? It depends on which property I'm giving rights away to. And it's because, like you said, right, the older you get, the more desperate you get. And you're like, yo, I got to make this happen. They're offering me $250,000, you know, option deal for whatever. Do I take that? You know, that could be a home, that could be, you know, I could put that away to some. So it's hard to say, dude. Like, it's really hard to say. Yeah. And I think it really depends on your property. It's like, okay, if I give this up, do I have something else that I can, you know, that's better than that? I'll give them the stuff that I'm not really too excited about just to see what, you know, but that may not be what they want. So is it a way to get your foot in the door? You know, do you look at it that way? Like if I'm in the door with this property, then I can bring in all the other things that I have coming down the pike. Because that's a tough question. Because like, for example, you're going out to a licensing show, right? And let's say somebody approaches you, you know, and they say, hey, we're willing to, we want this. And it's not duty. It's, let's say, scary area, right? Do you give up those rights because now you got a foot in the door and then you can bring in all your other stuff? Or do you say, nope, I am not giving up any of my rights at this point? You know, what's the answer to that? You know, right. Like it's tough.
I think that for me, it would be there would have to be several factors in play. Number one, what are you offering? And number two, is it singular or is it universal? Like for me, you're saying I want the rights for the film deal, you know, and we want to own the whole film distribution rights, all that stuff, whatever, and we're gonna give you a lump sum. Checking, that's it, one-time deal. That means I own merchandising and everything else. Okay, so if that movie pops off, I'm going to make a killing on the merchandising and the publishing. That might be something I might do, right? You know, I get and for me, the lump sum will have to be net, not gross. Mm-hmm. So if they say we're going to offer you $1 million, it's going to have to be $1 million net. Because that could because after the government takes their money, yeah, I want to
get that.
Yes, yes. So for me, it's like, you know, those are the things like I would be looking at. It's like, you know, I have to be able to somehow benefit long term. I'm looking at the long game you know, somewhere along the line, do I own the publishing rights? Do I own, if they're saying we want a universal, then that's a higher threshold. That's a different conversation. Oh,
yeah. And I think I would even negotiate me being a part of the project somehow, whether it's the producer rights, you know, obviously I want my creator rights in there. You know what I mean? Like, there would have to be stuff in there to sweeten the pot for me to give anything up.
Right. But as you know, from Licensing Expo back in 2008, there were companies, they don't want, it's like, we're going to give you 3% and we own everything else. 3%? Right. What is that? Yeah. You know, it's like, it's crazy, you know, so, but they wanted to own everything. So there are companies out there that they just don't want to deal with the creator. They just want to take the property and they want to do whatever they want with it. So I think everything is based on where you are in your life. I think that also plays a part of it, right? So I think individually is going to be based on where, are you dealing with financial issues? Are you dealing with, medical issues? Are you dealing, all those things you have to take into play. But then it could be a stepping stone to something else. But, it's like you have to be able to live with yourself, whatever decision you make. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, for me, it's like I'm going over there and I'm trying to push as many things in people's faces to limit the blow. If someone says, we want to take this. Then I have a bunch of other things, so it all depends.
I think, and listen, man, anything in business and what you're doing, it's all about negotiations, right? And negotiations are all about leverage. So you need leverage when you go into negotiation. That's why you can't take the first deal. You got to have different deals in place because now you have leverage. If you want this, this person also wants it, and they're giving me this much, I'm not willing to part without it unless you can match that or go better than that. And when they give you the offer, you can go back and say, hey, these guys just gave me this offer. It's all about leverage and how you work that leverage with every project that you have. But you have to be smart about the leverage that you're using. It's like, we've talked about this when you're getting a job and when you're looking for a raise. And it's all about that leverage. They're offering it to you for a reason, right? They see something in there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be offering it to you. They'd be like, all right, we're going to pass on you. They're offering you something because they see something in that, unless they're just trying to shelve it because they have something similar and they don't want the competition. But either way, there's value in whatever it is you're offering.
Right.
And that's your leverage. And you got to understand that before you sign anything. You got to have lawyers look at your stuff. You got to have all of that stuff. Would you give up your rights? What rights are you giving up? Yeah, talk to me. What am I doing here? What are we doing? So you have to be careful.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. It's it's you got to know what you're playing with. You gotta know your worth. The biggest thing is know your value, know your worth. And if you don't understand your worth, and be confident. I think if you're desperate, people are gonna smell that and they're gonna eat you up and they're gonna whatever. But I think you just gotta have an end game, have a backup plan. If you're going to sell your rights, have a number. What's the number that's going to make you feel comfortable? And for me, it's a net number. It's never a gross. For me, it's like, even when I know, when I was in working before I became a entrepreneur, whenever I negotiated my salary, I always factored in the cost of healthcare. How much am I paying out for healthcare? Is it higher with you? Am I paying more premiums with you than I did with my last company? So I take that in consideration when I'm negotiating my salary. I take all these, if this company's only offering me 3 weeks vacation, but I had 5 weeks vacation, I take that consideration when I'm negotiating my salary. So all those things, I was like, well, you know what? I'm losing this, so I need to gain this. So you got to make it, wet my whistle. You got to make it worth my while. Yeah. Same mindset has to go into when you're going into these places and say, look, I came here for a reason. I love to make a deal, but you know what? Everybody's got to win. So for me, it's always got to be like, I understand you guys are the power machine, but you know what? I got to eat too. I want to put some food on my plate too. So again, it all depends. Your situation will dictate what you do. And, if it's a cushy deal, for me, it's like, I don't want to give somebody total ownership of all rights. Right. You know what I'm saying? I want to just be able to say, yeah, you can do this, but I own this. You can do this and I own this. Because there's got to be a way for to be able to monetize or capitalize off of if something did well. Because just the idea, like for instance, just the idea that your stuff was picked up by Netflix, your stock goes up in the consumer's eyes, you know, by 50%, right? Okay. So for people who didn't know you, now they know you. They, oh, and let me get that book. Let me go. Where is this book available? Is that available? So then you start for at least for that time that it's in development to the time that it hits the airs, you have an opportunity to cash in. Oh, it's almost like the rapper who signs a deal with Universal and Universal just gives them a signing bonus, right? But now they go, when they go on tours, when they make the real money. So yeah, you can make the album, but I want to be able to go on tour and make and take in all that cash. So I think that's the same thing, the same premise. You got to be able to find a way to, in the streets, make your money, you know, capitalizing on the fact that the big boys, you know, did their thing with your film project or whatever. So how do you cash in from that whole experience, and how do you benefit long term?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you were in the music industry. You've signed contracts that you shouldn't have signed at the time when you signed it. But again, you were young, and you know you didn't have all of this knowledge. I think part of you know being a business person or being somebody, once you step into that ring, you gotta kind of know what you're doing. And if you don't know, you gotta ask a lot of questions, and you gotta be ready once you step in. And I go back to your leverage, because, you know, like you said, it's about your worth and your worth and the worth of your project is that leverage. How bad do they want it? You know, how bad does that other competitor want it? I was watching it was that show, The Dropout. What's her name? Elizabeth Holmes, who created, that whole thing. And she had two major companies battling for her company, like to give her money. She had Walgreens on one end, and she had I forget what other company. And Walgreens thought she was going to CVS, but they weren't going to lose her to CVS, so they were willing to give her whatever she wanted. She had leverage. She had a crap product, but she had leverage because she had made them think that she had something more than what she really had, because she knew her worth. I mean, you know, she's probably going to jail now. I'm not saying that's the right way to do it, but she used her leverage to get what she wanted. And that's how she got what she essentially wanted. She made him think something else was going on. And part of the whole negotiation, part of being in this world is, right, the rights, right? You don't want to give up rights. You don't want to give up all the rights. There are some rights, publishing rights. Okay, you can have the publishing rights to a comic or whatever, but I have the movie rights. Or you can have the movie rights, but I still have the publishing rights. You know, you can spread it around, because that's the way you're going to make your money. It's not just giving everything to one person. Look at Sony, for example. Sony's making all this money for Marvel because they bought the rights for certain characters, not all. And now Marvel's like, damn, why did we sell those rights? Now we got to get them back. Because even they made the mistake of selling the rights off and not being able to put all their movies in one, instead of just waiting till they had their studio and just keep all their characters.
Yeah.
You know, even it's they crazy. Made it. Right.
Yeah, but my Marvel's also paying for it's just karma too, because you know how many of the creators that they took the rights from. You know what I'm saying? So right. You know, it's this is what happens.
Crazy.
You
know? Crazy. Yeah. That's
the universe will pay you back.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
It's nuts. You know, that's but it's an interesting concept, and I don't know why it just popped up on my feed today, and I was like, huh. I was like, interesting. But you know what? Again, you know, you see it all the time. You hear about these horrible deals, or you hear about these deals where a deal doesn't guarantee you anything. You can have, you know, a development deal, but it doesn't get developed for years. You know, so there's another thing. It's like it's one of those things where if you're gonna do it, make sure you're clear. Make sure everything is understood, timelines, dates, you know, dollars, rights, all that stuff, input, all that stuff. Do you get, you know, executive producer? Do you get, you know, consultant? Do you get all those things? That's all going to be based on what you do.
Absolutely. And you have to have, it's like you said, Sam, it's what number are you comfortable with? What is the number that makes you comfortable? What's going to make, and again, and you're right, man, make sure that that's given to you in net numbers, not gross, because they're going to take taxes are going to come off of that and all this other stuff. You want to be comfortable with that number. Lawyers, are you kidding me? Yeah, hell yeah. all those, you're going to be paying that a lot. So you got to make sure that all of that is accounted for when you make, when they're making you that offer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's an interesting, you know, topic, but yeah, yeah. Well, we're waiting for our guest.
You hit a little bump. You want a little bump? You got anything in there?
Yeah. Let's play a bump. Let's hook up, our boy,
Joe D. McPhee.
Joe D. McPhee, here we go.
Hi, I am Joe D. McPhee. I am the host of From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher. And I want to cordially invite you to watch our show Saturdays at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. On our show, we will have different guests as well as talk about the comic book industry and pop culture. And every so often, I might actually do a drawing session or a 3D rendering session every here and there. So once again, I want to invite you to watch From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher right here on the broadcast channel that you're looking at, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Hope to see you there and make certain that you catch From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks.
Word.
Word. Saturday nights. Get down with Joe D. McPhee. Big shout out to him and the and his YouTube channel. He's always showing us love on that channel. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe to it. Subscribe to it and check him out on Saturday nights. Saturday nights where it's at. What you got, Sam? You looking up into the sky?
No, just just wondering where's all my followers?
It's all my peoples.
It's all my peoples. Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. Still waiting for Daleks Fan Expo. Don't know what the hell's going on with that. It would have been nice to be able to have a convention in Texas this year. What's up? Yo, I haven't gotten any love from Texas yet, bro. I moved out here. It was easier on the East Coast. He is a little.
They treat me like a statue.
Is it because I'm not wearing chaps? It's
you better start wearing a hat. Better start wearing a cowboy hat or something.
Like Roscoe Pico Tree.
Talk with a slang.
That's just a good old boy. That's it. The only time I can use a slang is when I'm singing the Ivory song.
Ivory song, huh?
Yeah.
You're going to make me ask you
something. It's real as ivory. It's got to be 99.44. I want to clean that's real as ivory. Nothing less, nothing more. I want to clean that's real as ivory. It's got to be pure, that's for sure. Oh, I want to clean that's real as ivory.
That shit just keeps going. I didn't even know the song was that long. All right.
You don't remember this song?
No, I don't remember this song. Oh, my God.
Oh, I love that commercial. I used to love commercials, bro. The 80s.
The art of the jingle is gone, dog. The art of the jingle is gone.
It is.
When was the last time you heard a good jingle on TV?
Don't know when. I don't know when. The 80s jingles were the best, bro. Even Toys R Us, the Christmas jingle. Toys R Us, time of year. Toys R Us. Who just?
Me. I like. I like how you remember these things, bro. Like I would have to listen to them and then maybe I could sing along with them. I don't remember the jingles like that. I don't.
No.
No. Not at all.
Russell Allen Keith. I didn't sing that one either.
No, sir.
That's that stuff.
I know. Usually you got boom, boom, boom. Even the well, listen. If you don't know, guys, on Thursday mornings, we do a show called The Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. Word. So make sure you join us for that. We have some really cool topics that we discuss on the show. Just yesterday, it would have been yesterday because yesterday would have been Thursday. We had a nice little topic. I don't know what the topic was or is because you know we're recording in the past for the future, but recording in the present. So I don't know what the hell it's going to be, what the topic is going to be for that day, but it's going to be a good one. You guys should watch it. Make sure you subscribe to the channel and get that. Listen, we're nearing 600, man. We're almost at 600. And the year is passing us by. It's already.
She keeps on passing me by.
Our side. Boy, wow. That's a good one. That's a good song. It's already May. Well, it's going to be May in a few days.
It's crazy. And,
you know, we need to get to 1,000 by the end of the year.
I will make a year here very soon.
Oh, wow. When did you?
I got it last week in August.
Oh, snap. You know, it's funny because last year is when, you know, and hopefully Sean can make it on the show. But it was August 13th is when that show aired last year. So So that was probably one of the last shows that we did at the old studio before you shipped out. But yeah, I'm not sure where Sean is. Hopefully,
he'll
make it in today.
Try,
but we're gonna give a shout out to his book, Youth Mob, Next Chapter. It's on Kickstarter right now. His campaign ends on Monday, May 9th. So make sure you check it out. I guess the link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, that's what it is. We had it all set up, waiting for
there it is.
The show. So there it is. Youth Mob. He's got 18 days to go. He's got 4 backers. So we're waiting for him to come and talk to us about that. Was it?
Going back to those jingles, bro. Like, it really was like the jingles were the joint back in the day.
They were awesome.
Yeah. Even, and we've talked about this before. I mean, you know, I hate to go back to this, but even like the sitcom, what you call it? The beginning of the sitcoms, the music. It's great. It's great in the 80s, 90s. Not even 90s, 80s. I think it stopped in the 80s. In the 90s, it was more, you know, it wasn't as prevalent. But in the 80s, all those sitcoms had songs.
But even the commercials, I mean, remember? Hey, Jimmy, it's Palio's Dream Cheese. The best part of the pizza without the pizza. No bogus sauce, no crust, just an ordinary cheese snack.
Man, dog, were you beating that thing off your screen? What the hell?
No, man.
The only commercial I remember like that was, this is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? Like, that's what I remember.
Help Woodsy spread the word. Never be a dirty bird in the city or in the woods. Help keep America looking good.
No, I remember when Child's Play came out and they had my buddy.
My buddy, wherever I go. He goes, my buddy.
That's right.
My buddy. Teach him everything that I know. My buddy would be like to climb up a tree. My buddy would be.
I think you're making some of that up right there. I don't remember that part of the song.
And then they did Kid Sister.
I was just going to say that they had Kid Sister. Oh, snap. Wow. Throwback. Shit. Listen, I'm so glad we could just go off the riff when our guests don't show up, you know what I mean? We can just talk about some stuff, but honestly, that was the joint. You know what? I was talking to my brother-in-law when they were here. Did you collect Garbage Pail Kids?
My sister did.
You never collected the trading like the stickers, but they were like the human trading cards. Never.
My sister did. Now,
your sister's younger than you.
1 year.
Oh, 1 year. Damn, 1 year makes a difference. How come you never got into them?
I liked the look of it, but you couldn't break me away from G.I. Joe.
Well, I collected
G.I. Joe figures like there was no tomorrow. You couldn't prime my hands. I had He-Man, G.I. Joe, and Thundercats, and you couldn't take me away from any of them.
I heard that they're talking about a live-action Voltron
movie. Wow, that would be sweet.
That would be interesting. But, you know, it's funny because we had Keith Gleason on the show. Big shout-out to Keith. Who was on the show last week. I think it was last week was his show. And we were talking about, you know, just comics and stuff like that. But one of the comments he made was that was the problem with the Transformer movies, which I agreed was it was more about the humans than it was about the Transformers.
Right.
And I wanted to see more about the Transformers, except the cartoon was dope because it was about the Transformers themselves,
right,
not so much the kids. Like, I could barely remember the kids. But I remember the Transformers, you know, like them transforming. Like, that's all I remember. And I hope that they do something. I mean, granted, Voltron was about the humans in Voltron because it was about the kids getting inside these machines and transforming. So it's more of that. But I would love to see how they do Voltron. And I want to see the lions. I don't want to see the cars.
That's what I want to see. I want to see the lions. I want to see. I'd love to see Battle of the Planets, G-Force. Ugh.
G-Force was a good one.
Cartoon. I used to wake up to that stuff all. And I'm surprised they haven't even done a Robotech, bro.
Yeah, you're right.
Technology would, I mean, that would be fire if they did Robotech live action like they did Transformers.
Word.
You know, I loved all the Shia LaBeouf Transformers.
I did. You know, Shia LaBeouf, as weird as he got, I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was, he was he was brilliant in the freaking. I mean, it was perfect that he got the hottie. You know, it was. I mean, how his acting. He was such a diverse actor, bro. Remember when the numbers and he was doing all that stuff and his comedic timing was legit.
It was funny. He was, dude. He was. But it's like outside of that, he just was like a little quirky, man. It's like the kid from The Flash. And I can't remember his name. He keeps getting arrested. I'm like, yeah. Dude.
What happens is I think they can't take the pressure of society once they blow up so fast. Shia LaBeouf got found by Ben Affleck and what's his buddy?
Did you just say Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck. What's his buddy's name?
Matt Damon.
So they did. Remember that series that they did on HBO? You pitched the
green light.
Project Greenlight. And he was one of the actors in that movie.
Really?
He was found. Yeah, it was a military style movie, and that was his breakout. That's how he got found, and he just took off. He did some stuff at Disney before that, but he didn't get that notoriety until he did that, and then they saw his acting chops, and then from that point on, he just blew up.
Yeah, and it was quick. It was like that, bang! He blew up, and all of a sudden,
because what happens is, you know, there's a lot of the barbershop talk, or there's a lot of these podcasts where they talk about the inner workings of Hollywood. And there's these societies that, you know, then you're invited to these clubs and these parties that, you know, normal people won't get it. And then you expose to certain things that messes with your mind, you know, and that's how they get, because they got these rooms, they got these drug rooms, they got different types of drug rooms, sex rooms. All this stuff. And then next year, you know, your values are compromised because the peer pressure.
Yeah, I think was it Jamie Foxx that talked about that in one of his stand-up comedy, how when he went into Hollywood, he was like, what? Like, he would walk by rooms, he's like, what's going on in there? And it's like, that's a whole different world that we don't know about. We would never know about.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. When these kids get into an industry, like, they're partying, dude. Like, look what happened to Britney for a while, man. Britney's still not 100% from all of that stuff. Who knows what happened and how?
I mean, think about it. I mean, I did security, corporate security, and I did parties, and parties for, you know, you got CEOs and you know, C-suite.
Parties different.
And you see things you're not supposed to see. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk. You know, being faithful to your wife is out of the door at these parties, and you see things you're not supposed to see. You don't talk about it. You don't see it, whatever. You're exposed to things, and you know, and it's, and that's at that scale. So imagine
that,
you know, where now everyone thinks they're untouchable because they have the capital and they have the lawyers and everything to protect them. Yeah. So it's like, imagine there. And then imagine someone, a young rising star, you're exposed to that. You don't want to lose your newfound fame. Mm-hmm. So now you assimilate.
Down. You get down. Yeah, you get
you
down.
You adjust to that environment, and now you're compromised. And then now you're dealing with both demons. You're dealing with, you know, the values you grew up with, and now this new world, and now you don't even know who you are anymore. You don't like who you see when you look in the mirror, and then that's where the drugs become substance abuse, depression kicks in, all that stuff kicks in.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Man, a young mind like that, you know, anything, it's impressionable, they say, impressionable young mind. So you see these things, you're like, I can do that? Yeah, you can do that. And I can do whenever I want? Yeah, you can. And you just get hooked on it, and now all of a sudden, you lose who you are, and it is what it is. And I feel bad. I mean, sometimes I'm like, that's what you wanted, right? You're a superstar now. That's what you wanted. Sometimes I feel like that. But at the same time, it's like, yo, these are human beings. Like, and that's the problem. I think we forget that these people are regular people.
It's always the knuckleheads that say that. I think everybody wants to be a successful actor or successful, whatever it is. They want to be successful at it. All that other stuff that comes with it, I think that comes when you start entertaining it, is because I don't think it's because of your own. I think number one, curiosity, right? You were like, oh, I wonder what this is like. Oh man, I got invited to this party. I wonder, and then you start, you're like, oh shit, I didn't want to see this. Oh, I don't want to be here. I don't want to look like I'm a jerk. I don't want them to say something. So then you're there. And then like, yo, take a hit. I don't want to take it. I don't do it. Yo, man, what are you doing? And then next you know,
taking a hit.
And now you want more. And then next you know, you're missing call times and all this other stuff. And you know, it's unfortunate, but I've seen it. I've seen it on a small scale, And I've seen, you know, and then when you read all these articles, and you know what happens, and these people come forward, and you know
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like we, you know, ever since I was a kid, and even like in sports, you look at these people, and you're like, oh my God, these people are special, right? These people are different, and it's like the only thing that makes them special is that they have a talent, right? And their talent,
you know what they do.
They're good. They're excellent. They're good actor. Whatever. That's their talent. They're good basketball players, football players. That's their talent. But that's the only thing that makes them different from you and I. It's just that one talent, right? Yeah. Everything else, they're the same. They feel the same things we feel. They look at life. You know, some people, they get depressed the way we get depressed. They fear what we fear. They have doubts about their skill. You know what I mean? Can I keep doing this? Yeah, I did it once. Can I keep doing it? A lot of that, because they're human beings, and we forget that we put them on this pedestal, and we forget that these people are just normal people, you know, they're normal people. And it sucks. It sucks for these kids too, man. I feel bad for the young actors. How many young actors have been lost to Hollywood? You know what I mean? Where they were like these young actors.
Generations of them.
God, you know? Like what happened to them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
the best of them. Look at Whitney Houston. I mean, it's.
Oh, Whitney. Bro.
She was such.
That was sad, dude.
Probably the most beautiful voice in the world. Oh, I mean, that voice was just
crazy.
And I loved, you know, I always wished that she would have taken Kevin Costner up on his, because he was in love with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, but, she chose Bobby. And, she was just. Her voice was just amazing.
Yeah. And she lost everything, including her life to the drugs. And
I loved her in The Bodyguard. I loved her in The Bodyguard. I thought that was a great movie. I love the chemistry they had.
Oh, don't even sing it. Don't try it. Don't you dare. No! Don't you dare. I knew it was coming. Oh, man. People are like, How do I do it? Oh, snap. Yeah, no, that was a good, listen, that was a good flick. I'm not even going to lie.
I remember watching that
when I was younger.
50 times.
I haven't seen it lately, so I don't know if it holds up.
You know what it is? Because, I was in security, you know, and so I love the way he approaches Be the Bodyguard. He is no joke, bro. You know, it's like this guy is like, legit. The guy you want. You know what I'm saying? If you blow up and you need a bodyguard, you don't want those big. Look, no offense to anybody who's, you know, but you see a lot of these. Yo, I just watched look, I don't understand this, especially with law enforcement, right? Okay. I just watched a Bronx, a narcotics task force. They were going to make an arrest after this guy. I don't know if narcotics or violent task force, whatever. They find this guy at a shelter, right, to make an arrest. He fights them, and he escapes. When you look at the cops making the arrest, they're probably overweight by 100 pounds. I was like, wait, there should be a specific, you should be required to every quarter, every 3 months, come to the fitness center, run and hit a certain time, push-ups, the same thing you had to do for the entry. You know, the physical you had to take to get to entry. Yeah. Every 3 months, they have to pass the physical, especially if you're in the field. If you're in a desk, if you're on the phone, it's different. But you know, you don't even know the basics, like even like the basics, like how many times you see like 7 cops struggling to put on cuffs on one guy. You know, there's got to be some sort of lead on the field. And someone says, you know, when I go left, you go left. You know, what's happening is everybody's going, you know, right, left, north, south, east, and west, and they're all stepping over each other. I saw that. I got mad. I was like, how did this guy escape? There was 4 of you. How did he escape?
Nah, it's true. I got a buddy of mine. His name is Carlos. He's on Instagram. You guys want to follow him? Modified Mind XX. So he's a martial artist. And he's saying that there's a push for police officers to learn jujitsu.
Yes.
At least. As a means to be able to subdue people, because you certain locks, you could just do a lock and boom, that person is done. You
know, somebody put me in a lock and I was done.
you don't have to use excessive force. Yeah. That force is enough. And there's a push to have police officers do that. At least be a blue belt.
They have my vote. Yeah.
And I agree because you know what? And then the other thing is this, and I said, and I joked about this with like people when I talk about it, I think that when you get a call, and it's not possible. I know that this can't happen, but if they say that, okay, what do you have there? The suspect is 6'8", 250 pounds, 280 pounds.
You said 5'2", lady.
Right? Do not send the 5'2" guy or you know what I mean? Send somebody that can handle that to avoid certain things. Now, I know it's not realistic. It's, not going
to
happen.
And, but that's that's legit. You have to understand. You know, I work in security, and my team, we had a surveillance team. We had two surveillance rooms. We had over 200 something cameras, whatever. We had two teams. But they would assess, and they were like, we need Sam, or we need this guy. Because at that time, when I was I was Diesel, I was working out, I was fit. Yeah. And they were like, all right, we need, these are the guys we need. Because you didn't want to send somebody because they're butt whooped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I remember.
Or they're going to resort to some kind of extra violence. There's a brick on the floor. Pick it up. Because it's human nature. It's human. Yes. I can't lose this fight. Can't lose this fight, bro. No. We're going to have to, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, you know, and that, so I get upset when you see these police officers who are just not. And number one, I think the martial arts is going to teach them temperament, right? And patience, because they're so quick to pull out the, you know, whatever. You know, teach them patience. Teach them to be calculating. You know, you need to do some, you know, send them back to, whether it's, you know, semi-annually or annually, to go a week or 2 weeks away back at the training center to go over the curriculum, to go let some lessons learned from bad cases gone wrong or cases that gone wrong, and go and re-educate everybody.
Yeah. And listen, I have family and I have friends who are on the force, and they do a lot of good stuff. But I think that what happens with them is that they're under such a microscope right now that it's hard for them to do their job. And so when they try to do something good, there's so much red tape and bureaucracy that it kind of deflates them. It's like, why did you do that? Well, I saved a life. Yeah, but you weren't supposed to do it that way. And it's like,
no, I think here's where I would say how to approach it. Number one, you have to understand that anything that happens where there's an incident, whether it's a physical harm, whatever, you're going to have to answer questions. That's just part of it. So understand that as a police officer, don't second guess yourself. Trust your training when you're out there, because remember, you're serving the public. So trust your training. Block out the noise, you know, the people with the social. Don't make them your priority. Make your mission the priority. What happens is they get distracted. Sometimes you get the hecklers and those people that they're disrespectful, or they're trying to interfere with an investigation or whatever it is. Block it out. Focus on the mission. Do it right. Stick to your training. Go back, and you know, this way your memory's not clouded, your judgment's not clouded. You're not going to make a bad mistake. Don't let your emotions. I think what happens is sometimes you leave with your emotions. I have friends who are captains, who are narcotics divisions, whatever, and I know of a lot of the horror stories. But what made some of these guys successful, and some of them made mistakes, but what made them successful is they focused on the training. You know, they spend a lot of money to train you. Rely on your training, and remember, you did it. Your first mission is safety, public safety. So make sure everybody's safe around you. Whoever the perpetrator is, make sure they're secure, and then deal with crowd control and all that other nonsense afterwards. Get a field supervisor, all that stuff.
I think that's where you have your backups, right? That's where you have your people there to do that. While I'm doing this, you know, and
call for backup immediately. Don't be Rambo.
Rambo, baby. But listen, our guest didn't show up today.
Yeah, we come to a conclusion. You know, thank you. our guest who never showed. But
listen, either way, make sure that you go to Kickstarter. Type in Youth Mob. I think the link is going to be down here.
Right there.
Type in Youth Mob. Help this gentleman get to his goal. It ends on May 9th.
Absolutely.
Hopefully he's okay. I don't know what happened, but. You know, we did what we had to do. You know, we did what we do.
So with that said,
don't forget, sign up for the campaign. Sam, sign up for There's an Alien in My Toilet.
Yes,
sign up for The Adventures of Wonder Duck. We go live. We go live May 4th. So we make sure that you're watching the show May 4th. And maybe you'll grab one of these bad boys. You know what I mean? So let's do this. Let's do this.
And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, like, share it with a friend. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we are...
It's just easy kids. It's not.
Crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him. Say my name.
Right? This is what you were thinking? Oh,
my God.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.